In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, in the middle of the passage that we read together, come these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In that lovely hymn that we've just sung, it finished with the words that suggest it takes so much to understand. No nearer we venture than this, to gaze on a deep so profound, but tread whilst we taste of the bliss with reverence the hallowed ground. And this journey the Lord took with his disciples, the conversation he had with them, deserves the highest reverence. So deep, so powerful, too instructive for the disciples who couldn't take it in. We should ask for the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. And in this particular case, Jesus made the going, made the running. He said to the disciples as they were going along, something that they probably weren't even thinking about. But he said, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Now, many of the people in those days, like Herod, thought that he was John the Baptist. Ridiculous view to take. He'd executed John the Baptist and thought he'd come back to haunt him. But some people did think it was John the Baptist. Others thought that it was the great prophet Elijah. And of course, Elijah was one of the greatest and most powerful of the prophets who preached the word of God. People thought he was going to come back and it would be a wonderful time when he did. Others say, you're one of the prophets, but they don't quite know which one. Or they don't quite know, but they think you're a prophet like them. All right, said Jesus. I see. But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? When you think deep in your hearts and when you look at me and when you come along with me, who do you say that I am? Am I John the Baptist again? Well, you saw me and you saw John the Baptist. Am I Elijah again? But I speak of things that Elijah never even mentioned. Am I just one of the prophets? And he said to them, now what I'm going to tell you is so important. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Peter, with tremendous insight of the Holy Spirit, gave the answer that we all feel we should give. Thou art the Christ. Thou art God's chosen one, the only one, God has ever sent, the only one God has ever loved. God himself, the second person of the Trinity. Thou art the Christ. Not John the Baptist again, not Elijah again, not one of the prophets again, but thou art the Christ, God's chosen one, God's anointed one. And Jesus said, all right, the time now. It's not to make this too much known, but I'm saying these things to you. And here Jesus got really serious. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you know what you're saying? And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Well, the Son of Man, of course, is that special name that was used in the Old Testament, but the name that Jesus himself adopted so often. And it points back to Adam. Adam was the first man whom God created, and out of his ribs came Eve, and they became one, and they had children. But Adam was the first man that God created, and he created him mature. And God told him that there was just one thing that he must not do. What did he do? He did that one thing that God had said, don't do. Now, every parent knows just how relevant and how persistent that sin has been through all the years. You tell your child, one thing you mustn't do is this. What do they want to do? Yeah, the thing you say they mustn't do. What do they do if they're very naughty? Well, the thing that you said they mustn't do. And it began then with Adam. Lots of other things began just at that time with Adam and with Eve. But that was one of the things that began. So because Adam disobeyed God and sinned, through his DNA, he passed that sin on to everybody else. Not the same sin, but the spirit of not obeying what God said. What God has said is in the Bible. And God has sent his only begotten Son, that we should believe in him. People don't. But this is what God says. Now, on the other hand, we belong to Adam by nature. As we are born, we are like Adam. I remember once asking the question, I hate snakes. I remember asking somebody when we were out in the countryside, if I met with a baby adder, would he hurt? I don't remember the answer I got, except that, well, he's poisonous like his dad. And that has always encapsulated for me. We all love our children, but they have the sin like all the others. Can't say they don't sin, even as babies. They don't always know they're sinning, but they've actually inherited the sin. And that inheritance can't enter heaven because God has said that that's the one thing they mustn't do, to be disobedient. But the Lord has sent a new Adam. Not the old Adam, but the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a new Adam, sometimes called the second man. That everyone who believes in him should not perish. With Adam, everyone who's born by nature automatically takes his nature. But there's need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to leave that nature behind. The Lord Jesus is that second head, that second representative, the one who for believers has replaced Adam. They're no longer under the dominion of that sin of Adam. They're under the dominion of the power of the redemption of the Lord Jesus. And that's what the term Son of Man means. He's God, fully God, and yet he's equally fully man. He's the Son of God, but in the most wonderful sense, could be called the Son of Man. And yet, this Son of Man never did sin. This Son of Man lived as mankind was meant to have lived, always obedient to God, never once, even in childhood, disobeying. And he became man, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we read here in the Gospels. But that expression, Son of Man, refers to his replacing Adam for those who believe in him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. What sort of things? Well, Mark records this he may have gone on at greater detail and explained what things that he must suffer. We now know a lot of the things that he suffered, like the crown of thorns upon his head, and like being spat upon, like being summarily arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But here we don't have that information, not in this bit. But he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes. I've told you before how when I became a Baptist and wanted to be baptized, the burning question inside me was my mum wrong? And was every previous generation wrong that sprinkled children? I believe they were. Just because one person is right doesn't mean to say everybody else who follows them is going to be right. Just because one person is wrong, it does mean that everybody who follows them is wrong. And so it was that with the chief priests and scribes and elders, nobody likes being rejected by those whom have been brought up to respect and honour. And then he went on to say, I'm going to be killed. Because of all this, because of all the suffering, and the means of my rejection is going to issue in death. But after 3 days, I'll rise again. And Peter took hold of him. He'd never take hold upon a person like the Lord Jesus. And began to rebuke him. And the Lord rebuked Peter later. But you can understand Peter in a way. He didn't want those things to happen to the Lord Jesus. He didn't see that any good could come out of suffering and rejection and being killed, even if it were raised again after 3 days. So Peter took hold of Jesus and began to rebuke him and say, no, don't think like that. But Jesus turned and rebuked Peter in the face of all of them, saying, you're acting Satan's part. Get behind me, Satan. The things you like the taste of when you talk like this are not things of God, but things of men. So he called the people to him. And then he spoke the words of our text. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So he gathers together all the crowd as well as his disciples, and he goes on to instruct them concerning things they'd never considered. The cost of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Whosoever will. Now that's not the future will. I will do something. It's the form of the word wish. Whoever wishes to follow me. Whoever wants to follow me. Whoever wants to come after me. Now, coming is equal to believing and to following. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in these days where we don't see the Lord Jesus Christ, we may come to him in the spirit of our soul, in the spirit of our mind. But whosoever wishes to come in that sort of way to the Lord Jesus Christ to follow after him, the Lord says, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Children, but all of us as we grow older, if we're not careful, but the thing about children that they have to grow up is to think that there are other people than themselves. Perhaps they're not really introduced to that till they go to school. But a baby is the big I am in the house. And he learns to play on it. She learns to play on it. And by and large, it is true, because it's the old nature, you don't need to teach these things to a child. They come first. They are the ones that matter. I. And that is how they are. Now, says Jesus, if you wish to follow me, you do not put yourself first. It's perhaps the hardest test when you get married to say to yourself before God, I no longer think first of all of what I would like to do and be, but I would like to think of what my better half wants to do and think and be. It's not an easy transition, is it? So often the men want to go out and play their rugby and do all these things and meet with their mates like they always did. And perhaps some of the women like their hen parties to continue ad infinitum. But it isn't an easy thing to do. And the Lord says, whosoever wishes, feels moved in their heart, actually wants to come, be prepared to deny yourself. Now, his disciples who were with him hadn't got that far. He called them, and they loved being with him, but they hadn't got that far in their thinking. They'd not thought that Jesus must be first and foremost and everything. They had not got to that stage where what he says goes and what they think is subsidiary to what he says. Well, that's one big thought for them. And then he says something else. Whosoever wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Interesting statement. Never said that before. He's just said in the verse beforehand, three verses beforehand, that he must be killed, but he didn't say how. And out of the blue, he suddenly comes out with this. It's difficult for us to understand because we always have known that he died on the cross. They didn't know. And he said he's going to be killed, and now he says how. But we've got to take up a cross. Now, in those days, the disciples, as far as we understand it, all except John of the 12 disciples, well, the 11, was crucified. We don't know because it's the stuff of history and of legend, and that isn't the word of God. It may not be accurate. But the general impression, including the disciple that replaced Judas, is excepting John, they all died by crucifixion. And that was perhaps the most painful of deaths. It was one of the most shameful of deaths because you were naked and you were in public space and people could throw things at you. And it was, in addition to all that, it was only given to slaves. It wasn't given to Roman citizens. It was only given to slaves or those who were so degraded as to be considered not worth bothering about. So we don't have to take up a cross, the literal cross. We're coming much after. But we are called to take up a cross. Now, again, it's easy to say, but a cross meant death. And it meant a horrible death. And the taking up of a cross that a believer does is a death to himself. The Lord calls him to preach the gospel. The Lord calls him to talk to others. And some of the things which the Lord calls him to do may not be what he would like to do, may not necessarily be pleasant. And he began before, the Lord Jesus began before he said, and be killed. He said, I must suffer many things. And so taking up our cross in preparation for that may mean suffering many things. Being rejected by the elders. Again, we've had tremendous experience of that, all of us. Because every teenager wants to be liked by his peers. We all go through that stage. And to be rejected because of our faith by them, or for any other reason, is misery, agony, difficult. makes you challenge whether you really want it or not. But there are other issues of life for which this principle holds good. Whosoever wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Death to self. Death to putting oneself first. Only seeking those things that please the Lord. And that's the way they're to come. Whosoever wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the way it goes. And the challenge simply to us is, do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we his disciples? Or are we prepared to go ahead with it if we're not? Well, these are the standards that the Lord Jesus Christ expects. Well, there's a lot more in the other verses of this passage. You can read them for yourself. But may the Lord draw us all closer than ever to him. Amen.